20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's Thursday already, short week for most of us, short work week. It's almost Friday, and you're hearing the silky smooth sounds of myself, Jason Perrone, one of your co-hosts of Pack-A-Day Podcast, also of Game On Wisconsin, the Quick Science Podcast, and Mark Eckel of Packer Report. Mark, I know we'll start elsewhere for the weather report, but how was your 4th of July? How are you?
4th of July was, I didn't want to go there, but since you brought up, I used to love 4th of July, holidays in general, but especially 4th of July, right? Uh-huh. When I lived up north and you know, you went to a picnic or whatever, and you had a good time, family, friends, whatever, fireworks at night. Now that I live in a resort town,
Oh, geez,
I hate holidays.
Yeah, it's overrun.
I hate 4th of July. I hate Memorial Day. I hate Labor Day because it just gets so crowded. I didn't go to the beach on 4th of July because it was nowhere to go. It was so mobbed. Everything with the pools were mobbed. My wife and I, we just kind of had a quiet day. Didn't even go out. I mean, because everything, and it actually rained. There was bad thunderstorms during the, like, early in the day. Which made so you didn't want to go anywhere because all the stores would, I mean, everyone was like, where are we going to go? Let's go to the store. Let's go to, you know. So that was, yeah, that was crowded. Everything was crowded. And then at night, you know, we just sit on the balcony and watch the fireworks, which is kind of cool. I've done that every year that I've been here, which is because everybody and their brother is setting off fireworks all along the beach from where I live in North Myrtle all the way down to Myrtle. So that's kind of a nice little show you get.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. I mean, it's funny how your life changes by where you live, and what goes on around you. Like, I enjoy the rest of the year. The holidays are it just gets too overwhelming.
Well, here in Phoenix, it's been really dry, and actually, I have something interesting to note about that in a minute when we do some of our weather, because we have a new entrant this week. But it's been so dry that there was not as many places doing fireworks here because of the fire danger. And so I heard some of my neighbors setting off firecrackers, but I didn't see any actual fireworks. I saw more fireworks a couple of weeks ago when I was in Southern California when I had my son at Disney. We were at Disney and I saw more fireworks there. So I'm like, I guess that was my 4th of July and my vacation all rolled up into one. So.
Are you a big fireworks guy?
I don't really care. I mean, they're fun. Yeah. I mean, they're fun to watch, and like, it's interesting over the years to watch some different types of fireworks become popular. Like back in the day, and this was when, like, you know, you and I were growing up, it's like you had the flashbangs, you had the big ones and the little ones, and that was it. Like you saw a bunch of that, and then it was a finale, a big firework display at the end, and then yay, you're done. All right. Now there's all sorts of like stuff that fizzles around and it moves around and dances in the sky. And, you know, there's all these, you know, or they write words and stuff, like, you know, or make pictures of faces or something. I don't know, just whatever.
See, I like the nice, the big ones that they send off. Like, if it's done properly by, you know, by the city or by the town or by the, like, minor league baseball teams have, and they always do them after, and major league baseball teams for that matter. They're nice. I mean, they're like just having like the guy next door lighting off. You know, make all he's doing is making noise. I mean, it's nothing special. You know what I'm saying? I could do without him.
Well, we were at so we went to an Angels game while we were out there too, and they actually was fireworks night. They did a firework display because it was the night they were honoring the 2002 World Series championship team. They did a really nice firework display afterwards, and so that was cool. It's like we got a chance to watch that. So it's between that whole week. You know, there was probably three different occasions where we saw fireworks.
So you had enough fireworks.
I did. I'm not complaining. It's totally fine. So it's all good. So as we always do before we jump in, we're going to talk about the Packers and some of the news of the day, and we're going to talk about the depth of the Green Bay Packers. But before we jump in, as always, weather around the globe. So let's start in Oslo, Norway, Robin Erickson jumps in, says, he said, I tweeted something about the Cowboys winning a championship and only in my dreams or something. And so Robin said, speaking of things to sleep through, Norwegian weather, Oslo has a temperature of 57 Fahrenheit, rain and a bit of wind. Summer is here. Yay. I think he's being a little sarcastic. That's a little cold and rainy. And then our friend Rolf out in Copenhagen, Denmark, a little cooler, 68 Fahrenheit, clouds, mostly sunny. So that is our, those are our European entrants. And then you already talked about how crowded the beach was. How's the weather?
Well, like I said, it rained. We had some thunderstorms on the 4th. Today's going to be nice. It's muggy right now. I guess that's the, I don't know if that's the
good
right.
Good old Midwestern term, muggy. Yes.
I don't know if that's the meteorologist term.
No, they've used it. Sure, we'll know what that later. Means. Means it's hot, humid. Wet, and sticky.
Yeah, yeah, it's only in the 80s, but it feels like it's in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? It's that sticky. It's that summertime. You know, when you want to be inside in the air conditioning.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a dry heat. Like you get in Arizona.
Well, speaking of which, it is very, well, let's go in order because it is very hot and dry. Spoiler alert. But Paul is not with us, still tending to some family duties. So it's 85 degrees, partly sunny. Not too bad. I don't know what the humidity situation is. It looks like it's around 70%. That's pretty humid.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of muggy.
That's muggy.
And then we got a new entrant. We have Isaac Hanks, who jumped in via Twitter. He's actually a meteorologist. He doesn't play one on TV, but he's a meteorologist, and he gave us some accolades. We're getting props from meteorologists, right? Does that mean something?
I don't know what it means.
But he's from he's Hampshire, Illinois, which is northern Illinois. So he was, there was some hail and some big winds that were supposed to come through, and it sounds like it was 92 degrees, earlier this week, but it sounds like he survived. So he's hoping that, a little bit of, what is it? Rain coming later in the week, or he's looking for the temperatures in the 70s to return. So that's northern Illinois chiming in there. So we got a little competition for Green Bay in the Midwest and what's going on there too. So, you know, what was interesting too is I said earlier that it was dry out here, and I asked him if any unusual weather patterns. Well, apparently we're in the third year of La Nina. Now I know there's El Nino and La Nina, right. and I didn't look up what that meant, so I should be more learned. But apparently that's affecting weather patterns. And he said that it is obviously impacting dry, hot places like Phoenix, where we get fires, unfortunately, in the summer. But he did say that there's a good chance that it might be warmer than usual in the Midwest and in Green Bay at the beginning of the season, which could mean some really hot and humid games to start the season. And that's the interesting thing, Mark, is we've seen that before, too. I remember there were some games early in the season, like when I started watching the Packers on TV, and it was weird. The weirdest thing, because all you ever hear about in Green Bay is what? The cold, the tundra.
Frozen tundra.
Right. And then, but you have guys in September who have like got the fan on, and they're like, you know, they're overheating because it gets really freaking hot and humid there in the early part of the year.
I've been to games in Green Bay early, September games. And yeah, that tundra wasn't frozen. It was steamy. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't Florida hot or Arizona hot, but it was warm. Let's put it that way. I was wearing short sleeves, I'll tell you that. And you know, to play football, it was warm to play football.
So it gets hot there. Well, it's hot as an oven here. 104 hot, sunny, dry heat. You know, how we be here in Phoenix. This is the time of year where we're not bragging about anything. We're wishing we were you. And then our friend Harry is always in Kamloops. High of 75, low of 55. Humidity though, very high, very through the roof. He said, akin to what Robin Williams described, which I think he's referring to Good Morning Vietnam, where he said hot weather, humid weather, you know, expletive weather, if I remember correctly from this character, that will be in the upper 90s once the storm's clear by the weekend. So I would imagine that's that time of year again where everybody's getting their humidity and their hotness. And
yeah,
so,
it sounds like it's just a hot, humid.
Listen, everybody who's complaining about the heat and the humidity, just remember this. This is the day you store in your memory when it's January 15th and you're absolutely sick of winter. So, all right. Well, We were going to talk about the Packers and the depth of the team, but Aaron Rodgers got a tattoo mark, so we need to talk about the ink that Aaron Rodgers got, and we're going to break it down and talk about everything that we think it means. I'm completely kidding. So if we just lost half our audience, that's my fault. I shouldn't have probably said that.
I hope it means he wins the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Add a little bit of ink to it that has a Super Bowl championship and then, you know, whatever it is, because he's probably going to retire and be done playing. But, okay, so the depth of the Green Bay Packers, we're going to talk about that today because I'm being selfish right now. And I, you know my thoughts on David Bakhtiari. I'm starting to get very concerned about this. And there's been no shortage of conversations about Bakhtiari around podcast circles and written pieces. I don't know if you've written about it recently, but it's a big thing. I think this is one of the biggest things that we're going to be looking for when training camp opens, in addition to how do the rookies look and all that other kind of stuff, which Rodgers also talked about on the McAfee show earlier this week too. The depth of the Green Bay Packers. So why don't we just start there? That's a low-hanging fruit, Mark, the offensive line, because I think we're on opposite ends of the spectrum a little bit here. I am concerned. I don't feel very good about it. I don't have any reason or source to say why I think it's super good or bad, but your thoughts on the depth on the offensive line, because they've got some good incoming talent, but they're unproven.
True. Yeah, of course they are. I'm not worried about the depth on the offensive line. I think if and when they're all healthy, I think it's extremely deep and talented. I mean, to the point where they're going to have some tough decisions to make. Again, best case scenario, you know, Bakhtiari's is fine. And he is out there playing left tackle. And then, again, best case scenario, Elgton Jenkins comes back within a month or so, you know, or even 6 weeks, say. It's to say if he starts on PUP, they bring him back after 6 weeks. You know, that's, you have those two, and then John Runyon and Myers and Newman and Neiman and the kid they drafted, Ryan. And I mean, I like the depth on this offensive line. And I think you have a coach or coaches in Adam Stedovich and Luke Butkus, who just seem to get the most out of what they have there. I mean, if you look through the year, I mean, Newman last year, a rookie fourth round pick who people thought, okay, fourth round, he started every game. Now, he had his ups and downs. I thought he got better as the year went on, which is a great sign for a rookie. But they coached him up so where he was able to, you know, play. I think he played every game. I'm pretty sure he played every game. That's pretty impressive. John Runyon, a sixth round pick, as a rookie, had to fill in at times and did so, you know, admirably. And then last year became a starter and I thought had a very good season for a second year guy, sixth round pick. And you go through the years, Lane Taylor, undrafted guy that carved out a niche for himself before he got hurt. Lucas Patrick, undrafted, you know, started and did fine for himself. I mean, there are other questions, sure. Because like you said, there are some, we don't know Sean Ryan. You know, we know what he did at UCLA, and he was pretty good there and playing left tackle. But it looks like he's going to be a pretty good player, and he's going to get coached well, and he's going to be in the mix, and it's going to work out. That's going to turn out to be a pretty good pick. Like I said, the big questions are Bakhtiari's health and Jenkins' health, and when either one of them or both of them are healthy and able to play.
I just don't think there is no such thing as an answer to Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari. So I'm asking the impossible for them to have perfect depth behind them, because no team has two left tackles, right? Or even two right tackles.
And the Packers might have three.
Well, if they do, that's great. And on that note, Mark, could you please send a note to the coaching staff and tell them not to overthink the playoffs and the opening lineup or the roster? That would also be very helpful and preferred. So, yeah, I mean, that's my issue with the offensive line is you can't ask for them to have too much of one thing, because you just can't have that on a roster in the NFL. But that's my biggest concern with depth is the offensive line. I don't think they're going to have a shortage of bodies. I just don't know if they're going to be capable. And again, most of what I say with regard to this season, because listen, I mean, you know, if I'm going to be a spoiled fan, I'm going to go full spoiled fan. I'm not talking about September, October, November, and December. I'm talking about January and hopefully February. Those are the two things I'm talking about as far as the Packers and their ability to play and perform and be deep and all that other kind of stuff too. So what other, I mean, the offensive line, you know, I think they'll be okay, but again, they have to stay healthy and injuries aren't something you can totally plan for, but what would be your next, I mean, offensive line is obvious because of Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins. What about a position group where it might be kind of one of those sneaky, you know, wouldn't expect it, but you're kind of concerned about it.
Well, in terms of depth, to me, it's outside line, the edge rushers, because the starters are fine. Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, I got no problem with both. I think they're both, you know, Gary just keeps getting, he's an ascending player, obviously, that, you know, he's coming off of, you know, not a, I mean, people want to put him in the Hall of Fame. You know, he had a good year last year. Very, you know, he emerged as a legitimate pass rusher. I expect him to take another step this year and become, you know, one of the top pass rushers. Preston Smith, you know, he had the down year 2 years ago when he was allegedly out of shape, I guess. He came in not in the best, you know, the best shape of his life. And, you know, he didn't have a terrible year, but he wasn't nearly what he was the year before. In his third year at Green Bay last year, he was more like he was his first year. And, you know, he's a good player. He's just a good, solid player. So the starters are fine. Now, after that, that's the area where depth can be a concern, because somebody's going to have to be the third. At least, you know, Gary and Smith can't play every down. And we saw that last year when they went to Garvin or Tippa, or, you know, then they finally brought in Whitney Merciless for a few games late in the season, who gave him a little bit of a lift until he got hurt. Somebody of that mix, whether it's John Garvin, the rookie from South Carolina, who you're asking a lot for a rookie, though, but, you know, somebody's going to have to be that third guy and play about, you know, what, 30-some snaps a game, maybe. So that's where I'm a little concerned if we're talking depth, because, and again, they may have the guy. Maybe it is. Maybe Garvin. Garvin's still a young man. I mean, I think he was only like 20 when they drafted him out of Miami. So, you know, he's still young. He certainly looks the part. I mean, he has the great body for that position. He looks like a edge rusher. He's built like your classic, you know, outside linebacker, 3-4 outside linebacker. He just has to start making plays and, you know, being that, you know, again, your third guy doesn't have to be a star. He just has to be, you know, give Gary and Smith a needed some time off so they're not playing 80 plays a game or something. So that's where I'm concerned when it comes to depth.
Yeah, the edge rusher group is also one. I know we've talked about that one before, because it's just a matter of bodies on the roster, and you hope that it doesn't become one of those, because you can only address so many positions, right? You can only have so many guys in a position group, and there's been years where you've got more corners, you have more linebackers, more tight ends, you know, if you're Mike McCarthy, more fullbacks at one point. And so you can't stack every position as much as you want to, and you can only stash so many guys on the practice squad, and then they're at risk of being signed by other teams. And look, if you got a player on the practice squad and they're good enough, another team's going to probably make them an offer, and so you're potentially going to lose them. But this is one where it does seem, we have a good point, Mark, it does seem like they're really betting on Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith staying healthy and playing the whole season. Now, fortunately, there's a decent history of that happening. I know that they both have, you know, Preston Smith didn't miss any time until last year against his old team, Washington, and that was ironic. I felt terrible for him. But you made a good point in last week's show, which is, look, that's how conservative the medical staff is. So at least we know that they'll make the right decision for the player. But if either of these two guys, you know, the drop-off, it's one thing to drop off and go down to a Whitney Merciless, but when you drop down to a John Garvin, and to your point, you know, the P word, potential. Well, potential never made a tackle. So that's the problem, is that we don't know what the actual output is going to be there. And on a defense, now, I'll ask you, I'll take it a step further. As good as this defense is supposed to be this year, and I know maybe, I don't know if you're as hot on the defense as everyone else is, but they're going to be good. I mean, they're going to be good this year. Do you feel at least a little better, even if it's not the pass rushers themselves, but knowing that at least you've got inside linebackers and a secondary behind them that can maybe mitigate some of that lack of production if one of those two guys has to play less snaps?
Oh, yeah, the defense is good. I mean, this is again, it's July, you know, and so we're looking at what we think is going to happen, and we're, you know, we're basing it off, you know, past performance or projected performances of some young guys. But no, I mean, I just brought up the outside linebackers because, like I said, I think, and I, you know, don't be surprised if they don't add a veteran like a Whitney Mercilus between now and the start of the season to be that third guy. Another factor in there is Quay Walker got some work at outside linebacker mm-hmm. in minicamp.
Yep.
So I expect he may do some more of that. Again, not on a regular basis, but again, you don't want Smith and Gary having nothing left. You don't want them playing 90% of the plays
and then being spent September, by the time October, you get to November.
Because like you said, January and February, is what is important, and you don't want your two outside linebackers, exhausted from having to play so much. Early in the year. So somebody's going to have to be that guy. Walker, like I said, I think they may, and again, that's why they have camp. That's why they have preseason games and all that, to see John Garvin. Gary and Smith aren't going to play much in preseason. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for them mm-hmm. to play. But Garvin and Tippa and Randy Ramsey and the kid from South Carolina, Kingsley, how's he say his last name?
Anagbari.
They're going to see a lot of time. And, again, maybe one of them emerge mm-hmm. as a consistent third guy. But the rest, getting back to the depth, inside linebacker has excellent depth.
What a strength all of a sudden.
Because you have Campbell and Walker and Chris Barnes,
he's not a slouch.
Is he a star? No. Yeah. He's not a bad player. If he's your third guy, that's not bad.
He's made some big plays. I mean, he was the green dot for a while, two seasons ago.
No, he can. He's not a great cover linebacker, but he's good against the run. He's a downhill kind of guy. He'll hit you. I mean, no, he as a third. And like I said, I think you'll see some of that. I think you'll see him come in if they're going to move Walker outside at times. Then Barnes could come in and spell him inside, So, yeah, the inside linebacker, more depth than they've had in a long time. I mean, they have three legitimate inside linebackers, and that's not taking anything away from a guy like Isaiah McDuffie, who was a rookie last year, didn't play much, but they liked him enough that they drafted him. He could, if he's your fourth or fifth, that's not a bad thing either. Secondary, they have three very good corners, as we all know. And if Keyshawn Nixon, as a fourth corner, he played close to 300 snaps. I mean, everyone knows him as they brought him in for special teams, and he's tight because he knows the Raiders special teams and all this and that, and that's great. That's what he's going to be. But he played over 300 snaps at corner, or close to 300 snaps at cornerback for the Raiders. For a fourth corner, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. A guy that's played that much. And then John Charles, another guy that they liked him enough that they drafted him last year. Now, they didn't play much as a rookie. He's got to take that step to where if he's your fourth or fifth corner, they're fine at corner, too, in terms of depth. Safety is kind of like outside linebacker a little bit. You're looking to see who that third guy is going to be. Is it going to be Vernon Scott? Is it going to be the kid Davis who they picked up last year? Could it be the rookie from Georgia Tech? Was it Carpenter?
Tariq Carpenter. Yep.
But overall, I think that, and we didn't mention defensive line, which is probably deeper than it's been in years as well, mm-hmm. with, Clark and Lowry, who have been there for a while now, but then you added a first round pick and Wyatt, you signed Reed, and then you have Slayton now in his second year, again hoping to take that step from rookie year to second year, so they have they're deeper than they've been in a long time up front on defense. So overall, I think that the depth on the defense, again. Find me another outside pass rusher, and I'll be really, really saying that the defense is very, very, very deep.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay, but I don't want the team resting on their laurels and trying to take advantage of it. Hopefully they get a little lucky with health too. That's something you can't really control, but as far as that goes, I think if Gary or Preston have to come off the field, it's like, well, at least they've got some studs at cornerback and guys who can hopefully help mitigate some of that too. Although, you know, obviously if covering for 5+ seconds, I mean, remember when the Packers pass rush was not very good and they had issues where it's like, you can only cover for so long and then someone's going to get open and you're going to run into some issues there.
I think the front can generate more pass rush than it used to. Mm-hmm. As well, I mean, yeah,
with Wyatt up there now and big bodies, and they're not just space cloggers,
right? No, you're right. I mean, Clark has always been a guy that can either get, you know, not that he puts up big sack numbers, but he does all the work that lets the other guys get the sack, you know. But Reed is a guy that can put up numbers sack wise. Wyatt didn't in college because of the scheme they played, but everyone I've talked to about him thinks he can become a pretty good inside pass rusher. So, you know, and then Lowry gets his 4 or 5 sacks a year in general. You know, and he's coming off of his best year as a pass rusher. So, yeah, I mean, I think you'll see more pressure from the defensive line than you have in the past as well. So
they need it. You know, they're gonna need it. I mean, and we've spent a lot of time. We started on offensive line, but we spent a lot of time talking about the defense. But, you know, it's a little bit of a reversal of fortune because the offense has been so stacked for a long time with the Packers, just with the wide receiver room that they've had, and they've got good running backs. So if we switch over to the offensive side of the ball, I think as far as the quarterback position goes, that just kind of, it is what it is. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers or bust, and it doesn't matter who's behind him, Jordan Love or Kurt Benkert or whoever, you know, you or I, it doesn't really make any difference there. But as far as running back goes, we've got to feel pretty good. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, and then Patrick Taylor is a third. And if Kylan Hill can come back, and we'll see how healthy he is. And, I think at running back, they're okay. We talked about the offensive line. Tight end was one I thought you might mention. You mentioned pass rusher, but I thought you might go to tight end because we've talked about
that. Well, they have depth at tight end. The problem at tight end isn't depth. It's a number one. And it's the same with wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Well, receiver's a whole other conversation, which we're saving.
But, I mean, I think there's depth at both of those positions.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, though, like you've said, and I guess the reason why, and I'm agreeing with what you said in the past, too, is, yeah, Josiah DeGuara is listed as a tight end, but he's not really a pure tight end. But he's listed as one. So it's like, yeah, he counts as depth. But I don't know if he's the guy that's going to line up and do the things that the tight ends in the Packers offense typically do. That's the point I was trying to make, was I just don't think they'll, you know, I don't think they'll.
Well, I don't know. Again, it depends on the health of Tonyan. And when he's back, because DeGuara might have to do that. He might have to be a tight end.
Right. No choice.
You know, because again, Davis and Daphne, I mean, you know, they've showed spurts of, and everybody's raving about, you know, Davis now because the general manager talked about him and Aaron Rodgers talked about him. But I'm going to see him do it. I mean, you know, there's a reason he was available.
Right. Well, he's. But again. I think, yeah, temper your expectations on Tyler Davis. See, I think he's going to be more – if he's going to make his mark this season, I think it's going to be on specials.
Yeah.
Not on offense. Josiah DeGuara, like, you know, can he mature? Well, first of all, he lost his rookie year to health. Right. And can he mature now and not miss some of the routes and drop some of the balls he did last year? Because it's his third season. So he could end up becoming a bigger role player. I mean, they have to find the answer to get – any production they're getting from Mercedes Lewis, even if it's blocking, they need to figure out where they're going to get that after this season, because this has got to be it for Lewis. Yeah. You can't keep dipping into the well.
See, that's where I think that could be Davis. He's a pretty good blocker, right? And he's a big guy. He could become the next Mercedes Lewis. I think he's going to be more of that than the next, you know, Robert Tonyan. But getting back to what we're talking about depth, there's depth. They got a bunch of, you know, bodies. But I want to see somebody emerge as number one, and hopefully it's Robert Tonyan. Hopefully he's back sooner than later, and he becomes the guy he was a couple years ago when he was, you know, catching 11, 12 touchdown passes.
Because if it's not, and they don't have that out there, that's less of the honesty you need to keep to the defense across from the receivers. And I guess that's a great parlay into. So Aaron Rodgers spoke on the McAfee show. One of the things he talked about was the wide receiver group and said he wants accountability and production from the wide receivers. He doesn't really care about the potential and how they look anymore. It's about what they can do and if they're going to. And again, I think that was his underlying message was get ready to be a pro. Get ready to put in the work. I don't care if you're a rookie because we're going to need you. There's no Davante Adams on this roster anymore. And defense is, if you don't have a Tonyan or somebody out there that's going to cause some issues in the middle, running down the seam or, you know, whatever the tight ends are doing in Matt LaFleur's offense, then it's a lot of attention being drawn on to the wide receivers. And I don't like the prospects of having Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs having to figure out how to beat double teams already as rookies. I mean, they're going to have a hard enough time just gaining separation and getting used to the pro game. And outside of them, it's Lazard and Randall Cobb, neither of which are going to blow anybody off the page athletically. So that's where this wide receiver group is a real big question mark because they got depth. They have guys, but it's depth that can produce. And that's the question I have is how much can it actually produce? And I don't know if your biggest issue is the rookies or what it is with the receivers, but it's definitely one of those big hot rod topics and questions. You know, this is one of the top groups and that came to mind when I thought of this topic today.
Well, again, I'll say this. I think there's if you're looking at depth, they have depth. They have seven guys that are all fighting for maybe
at least
more,
mm-hmm.
You know, fighting for, and I'm not even putting like Malik Taylor in that. They probably have nine if you yeah. want to say Winfrey. And,
yeah, they've got guys. They got guys.
They have, again, there's bodies, but there's no clear cut number one. And again, that's what somebody has to step up. Somebody has to, or not. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I think the days of them having, you know, a true one, I think you might see a different guy every game be the one, depending on the defense, you know, what defense they're going up against. I mean, there might be a week where, you know, Randall Cobb catches six passes for 110 yards and two touchdowns, and he's your star. And the following week, you know, Cobb goes against a good slot defender and he only catches two passes, but Sammy Watkins catches, you know, five passes for 100 yards and a touchdown, and he's your big guy that day. And then the following week, it could be Alan Lazard, and it could never. Or one of the, maybe, you know, Christian Watson. You know, I really think his role this year is going to be the MVS role of the pass, where he's just going to, they're going to send him deep, at least early in the season. Just have him go deep, take the safety with him. If he beats his guy, which with his speed, he certainly can. And, you know, Rodgers, you know, plays long ball with him. And he might get, you know, a couple 50, 60-yard touchdown passes. Or maybe not even touchdown passes, but some big, you know, the Packers are first and 10 on their own 25, and he catches a 50-yard pass down to the, you know, down to the Vikings 25 or the Bears 25. You know, I think he'll be your home run hitter. I don't think, you know, so I think, I don't know if he's going to get, again, I could be wrong. Who knows how it's going to work out, but I think that's what the plan will be early on, is to make him what they had with MVS, especially his first couple of years, where that's what he was, a deep threat. Dobbs, I don't know what, I mean, who knows? He looked really good in the spring, but it's a long way from the spring to the fall when it comes to football. So
yeah,
we'll see how that all works out. But
this is kind of flashing me back to the early Favre days, where it was like, I remember one of the fun things about watching the Packers with Favre was every week I would try to figure out, like, okay, who's going to be the dude this week? Because it was someone different. And it was, exactly. And they had, I mean, he had
after receivers. Sharp, I mean, after
Robert Sharp, Brooks and Antonio Freeman, and he had some really good driver. He had some really good receivers. It wasn't like he didn't have a one. The Packers don't right now. They're definitely, they're in a different situation. But you know, is this kind of a throwback to the days of like, hey, you might see a different hero on offense every week.
Right. Oh, I agree. That's what I'm thinking.
It's almost like they have to.
Fantasy. I don't play fantasy football, but if I did, I wouldn't know what Packer receiver to take.
You'd have to really scour the waiver wire. Yeah, you'd have to kind of.
It's going to be, you know, like I said, I think it could be Cobb 1 week, Watkins another week, you know, Lazard, Watts. It could be, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think they know. I think that's the beauty of it, is that it's going to make Rodgers, and this is later in his career, but, you know, but Favre was still at the prime of his career when he had to make that decision where he, instead of just throwing the Sterling Sharp, you know, 80% of the time, it forced him to become more of a complete quarterback and scan the field and look for the guy that's open and look for whether, again, Brooks and Freeman became very good players, but no one, when Sharp retired, you didn't know what Brooks and Freeman were. They were third round, they weren't first round picks coming in here. They were third round picks that weren't real heralded, like, oh, they got Robert Brooks. Robert Brooks got South Carolina third round pick. Antonio Freeman from Virginia Tech, their third round pick. I mean, they weren't talked up like a lot of young wide receivers are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had to step up. And Donald Driver was a seventh round pick from nowhere. I mean, you know, he really stepped up. So, and again, having a quarterback like Favre or Rodgers, you know, and Brady's done it his whole career, is, you know, they, great quarterbacks make receivers better. And I think that's what the Packers are counting on this year too, is Aaron Rodgers will make Sammy Watkins better and Alan Lazard better. And, well, he's had Cobb for most of his career, but the thing with Cobb just has to, you know, kind of stay healthy and not let age get to him as well. Cause, you know, Randall Cobb has had Randall Cobb's a good slot receiver. There's no doubt about it. And we're forgetting Amari Rodgers too. We left him out of the mix. Another guy that has to make that first year to second year jump that a lot of players do, especially wide receivers, especially Packer wide receivers. I did a story a couple weeks ago listing, you know, going back in time and looking at the Packers wide receivers numbers from their first year to their second year. And a lot of the great ones didn't do much their first years. The guys we mentioned, Freeman and Brooks and Driver, all those guys, a lot of them didn't do much at all. Javon Walker, the last first-round pick, a lot of them took major steps from year one to year two. So, you know, again, we'll see what Amari Rodgers. Apparently, he looks better and is more confident and all that kind of stuff too. So there's another guy that, you know, week seven, I don't even know if you're playing week seven, but week seven might be his week where he catches whatever many balls for whatever many yards.
You know, Amari Rodgers could end up being one of those X factors. I could see in your guys' articles, if you talk about like X factors this season, Amari Rodgers is kind of one of those, because he's like, you know, I'm not saying he has to take over and be the Packers' number one wide receiver, but if he does, imagine if he does all of a sudden really elevate and this season, that could be a really big thing for the Packers. You know, if Sammy Watkins can play more than 7 or 8 games, like they're expecting him to only play, Lazard is his usual productive self, Cobb can give you what you need from him, this could be a really good thing. And I also think too, and I think you and Paul, either you or Paul or both of you mentioned it on a recent show too, let's not forget how involved the running backs are going to be in the passing game.
Exactly.
Huge. And Christian Watson, the end around, the Deebo Samuel type action now that this offense is going to have, you know, I'd like to give San Francisco a little dose of their own medicine and have Christian Watson come around and ice a game with one of his runs or something like that too. But yeah, I mean, the receiver group is going to be, it's going to be one to watch. And then you've got at the bottom of that roster, you got 6 guys that are obvious on the depth chart already. And then you got to figure out, well, what do we do with Malik Taylor? Cause he was a special teamer. Do we like him enough? Do we need him? Cause if you keep him, now you're at 7, and I haven't even gotten to Winfrey
or the other rookie, Torrey.
Right. Yeah, and Samari Toure, right? So, and then the thing is can he get himself on the field? Well, we'll find out, because in a couple of weeks when training camp opens, everybody's going to be reacting and overreacting to everything that happens in practice. So we're going to find out very quickly what the sentiments are about Amari Rodgers and everybody else when they get into practice. And one of the things that Rodgers said, and it's a very good point, Mark, is if there's one thing you can hope that it helps with some of these young guys is who they're going to be going up against in practice every day.
Right.
So if you're Christian Watson and you're going to become a good wide receiver, you'll find out real fast because you're lining up against Stokes and Jair Alexander, Rasul. You're going to have plenty of challenges in training camp because those guys are going to be looking to make their mark as well.
Well, that's what Jair always says, that, you know, Davante Adams, having to cover him every day in practice is what made him so good. And when he covered other receivers, it was like, oh, this is easy after covering this guy every day. Well, hopefully the Packer receivers, when they get tested every day by the three, you know, Stokes, Alexander, and Douglas, when they go against other teams' corners, they're like, hey, this is kind of easy. These guys aren't nearly as good as the guys we go against practice every day.
Mm-hmm. So, the tough thing about rookies is that, especially defensive, receivers as well as defensive backs too. But I guess I'm more talking about the receivers. Is you got to watch your film, and you really got to understand what the defense is doing, what the offense is doing, and where your opportunities lie. And that's one thing that young guys takes them longer to develop. I mean, even Charles Woodson didn't become a great studier of film until later in his career. And that's usually true of most really good players. They don't get it. The light bulb doesn't click because you have so much talent coming in. You think you're just going to beat everybody with that alone, and you think you're invincible and it's never going to change. And then you get in and you realize, hey, if I don't have a clue of what's going on here, I'm going to look like a fool I'm going to be on the wrong end of a top 10 on SportsCenter tonight at the end of the day. So that's what I hope those guys also can learn from, and having a guy like Rodgers and Cobb and Mercedes Lewis, and saying, hey, there is an intellectual element to the game. Embrace it. Get in there and learn something about what the other side is doing, because you don't really have that much to worry about when you're in high school and college. I remember some of the study sessions and the playbooks in high school. It's like you only really had to worry about two or three plays on the other side, because the offenses just didn't run. I mean, now it's different. But back when I played, it was like, you know, student body right, student body left, and halfback dive, and, you know, stuff one of those, because they're not going to throw the ball unless it's like, you know, fourth and long. So it's, you know, just that's one of those things too that I think hopefully can help. And it's not a depth thing, but it's a coaching thing. It's a culture thing. What do you expect of your players as far as being mentally prepared? Because this team is, you know, every year the window gets shorter and shorter, unless they're going to restock and get lucky and find their quarterback of the future after Aaron Rodgers or anything else like that. You know, it's always something. And I think that always something this year, unfortunately, could end up being the offensive line and the tackles, but obviously a long way to go and a lot to figure out before we know if that's the case. But that's my ring the bell, ring the alarm, and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be one of those where if it's like, you know, I see Bill Huber on the first day of training camp and he's like, I see everybody out there, no 69, or, Bakhtiari is working on the side or on the exercise bike or something like that. It's like, no, you need to be like, you need to be participating. Like,
well,
I don't,
if he's on the, at least I want to see him somewhere. I don't want him like, and he wasn't there today. He was, and they don't know where he is. I don't want, if he's on the exercise bike, at least he's there in camp and he's doing something. You know,
I think they'll know where he is, but.
Well, the Packers will, the writers might not.
So for you, no, but in all the years covering the Eagles, so I guess talk some people down off the ledge here. I mean, let's say that is the case. He's there, but he's off on the side doing other stuff and he's not doing team drills or something like that. First week of camp, like
I'm not worried about that.
Okay,
if that's the case, I'm not worried. Again, I like you said, I need him in January. Even if he doesn't start the season, which I hope he will, but if he doesn't, that's okay too. I need him down the stretch and in the playoffs. So if it means Yash is playing left tackle early, so be it. He did okay. They won 13 games last year without David Bakhtiari. So they can win games. They can win regular season games with Yosh Niemann playing left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They showed that. But I want – they haven't shown they can win in the playoffs without David Bakhtiari. So I do want him ready then. So whenever – and again, you're – you know, I know your degree of concern is much higher than mine right now, but I just want him ready. I want him out there when he's ready to be out there and be David Bakhtiari again. I don't need him out there playing 27 snaps against the Detroit Lions and then not being able to play again because he played 27 snaps against the Detroit Lions. So, you know, let's just see. Now, yeah, if he's out, if first day of training camp and your guy, Bill Huber or Tom Silverstein or whoever is writing that Bakhtiari, yeah, but first team out there, Bakhtiari was a left tackle and Niemann was at right tackle and Runyon was at, that's great news. That means,
yeah,
phew, okay,
obviously, yeah, that's ideal for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about that, but I'm not going to panic if he's not. That's all. Not yet. I'm going to panic if they put him on IR before the season.
Well, my reason
then I'm going to be panicking.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, that would be a big tell, kind of a clue, as they say. But it's only because I think that's got the potential to be this year's big issue, like last year's special teams. That's the only reason why. And I have nothing to say that it needs to be that. And man, I hope they don't have any other bigger problems that creep up and become an issue, and all of a sudden they can't, you know, I don't know, whatever it be, stop the run or have some other problem, but. That's why I'm so concerned about it, is because I really do think that could really be a big tip of the scales. It's like you have a great defense, but you know your offense can't get into rhythm because there's constantly somebody in Rodgers' face, and he doesn't have the ability to escape and run around like he used to. And even when he did, that wasn't always the best thing for the offense either. No. So that's the only reason why I think my level of concern is a little bigger with regards to David Bakhtiari. But so for overall, as of right now, as far as the depth, you know, I wouldn't say grade it and give it a letter grade, but, you know, it sounds like you're feeling better than not. And I am too, only because we've got three seasons worth of Matt LaFleur winning 13 games. And we've got this team showing that they can win games to get themselves into the tournament. There's no reason to think that they're going to take that huge of a step back, Devontae Adams or not. Right.
Right. Oh, I know. Listen, it's hard in a salary cap world. It's hard to be deep everywhere. I mean, there isn't a team in the league, and the Rams, you know, Super Bowl champions, they have depth issues at certain positions. Every team does, because you just can't, like you said, you can't fix all your, you know, problems in one full swoop. I think the Packers fixed a lot. They know, again, it's, young guys have to step up, whether it's like the backups we're talking about, whether it's the edge rushers, Garvin and those guys, or all the receivers that we mentioned, Amari Rodgers, for, you know, especially as a second-year guy. They have to take the steps. And one more thing on Amari Rodgers, since I mentioned him again, I don't think he's going to be on the return game. I think with Watson and Dubs, they're both good return guys. Dubs especially as a punt returner. Take that off his plate, and I think it could make him a better wide receiver. As one, and it's, you know, just one less thing he has to worry about. And let him just concentrate on being a wide receiver. I think it could definitely help his game as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of wait and see. But here we are.
Yeah.
You can tell we're in the dog days of summer, and like we're right before training camp, because this is where it's like you're empty out all of your, you know, all your topics. And man, I keep saying it, as fortunate as we were last year with the news cycle, we just, nothing going on right now. But I guess no news can be good news too, because it means nothing bad's happening either. So, all right. So what is coming up at, what's up now at Packer Report, and what is coming up?
Okay. Well, I have a story up now about, it's kind of similar to what we talked about, but I ranked the team by position. Like, what's the strongest, you know, from 1 to 10, I guess there's 10 positions. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, edge rusher, linebacker, cornerback, safety. And yeah, so 10. So I ranked them, in my opinion, what was the strongest area of the team down to the weakest area of the team. And so that's up now. And then I'm working on a story where I'm going to, you know, every year the Packers keep an undrafted rookie, right? I mean, they just do. And they get a lot out of them. I mean, going back to the like guys I mentioned earlier, Lane Taylor and Lucas Patrick, right, undrafted. Got Yosh Niemann, undrafted. Robert Tonyan, undrafted. Chris Barnes, undrafted. They seem to find at least one a year. So I'm going to take a look at the undrafted guys on this roster and which ones I think have a chance to be the guy that makes the team this year.
Okay. No, that'll be good. And I remember that was perennially, and it always seemed like it was somebody on defense we could get excited about. And because it was like, we better hope an undrafted free agent becomes a good inside linebacker because they sure as hell won't draft one. Well, they took care of that this year. So,
yeah. You
know, whoever it's going to be, that should be a lot of fun. Well, Quick Slant's still on hiatus until there's some news to talk about. So you probably won't hear from me again. Some of you may enjoy that fact. Until next week's Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast, we will find something fun to talk about. And as always, we'll have the international weather. So if you want your weather, make sure you get it to us no later than early on Wednesday. So good conversation, Mark. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, All right. Everybody, stay cool wherever you're at. Stay hydrated. And as always, go Pack, go.